Good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carroll. And this Friday, the 19th of April, 2024, we have a busy show lined up, as always, on this Friday evening. And, of course, we're going to be going live into our coverage at the end of the show down here in Fraher Field. Ken Hogan will be joining myself for live commentary of Tipperary versus Waterford in the Munster Under-20 Hurling Championship. So stick around for the end of the show. We'll be going straight into that. Throw-in time there is at 7 o'clock. And our coverage is with thanks to Road Safety Tipperary County Council. But before that, we've a lot to get through. It is, of course, the start of the Munster Senior Hurling Championship this weekend, and us here in Tipperary probably feeling a bit left out. We have a bye in the opening round, so we just have the feet up this weekend watching Clare against Limerick and Waterford against Cork, and the teams have been named. It's all very much exciting stuff. Strong teams named, Clare with Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell on the bench, so it's all really much looking forward to Sunday afternoon with the feet up watching both of those games before Tipperary make their entry into the championship the following weekend. But we will be speaking to Tipperary selector TJ Ryan. I spoke to him at the Munster Championship launch, so we're going to hear from that in just a few moments' time. Also, a big All-Ireland minor camogie semi-final to look forward to this weekend, Tip playing Kilkenny, and that will be on at 2 o'clock on Sunday in Rathdowney. We're going to hear from Tip manager John Ryan. Also, big weekend for Cashel Rugby Club in the AIL. They take on Barnhall in the Division 2A 1B playoff semi-final. That game will be live here on Tip FM tomorrow at 2:30 with thanks to Cashel Mart. We'll hear from head coach with Cashel Ray Maloney later in the show. And then to end the show, we always have Barry Drake with the weekend's Greyhound update. But the sporting edge this week is Tip Ladies Gaelic Football goalkeeper Lauren Fitzpatrick. Really interesting story. Plays her football with Ballymacarbery. So we have a nice 10-15 minute chat with Lauren Fitzpatrick coming up later in the show. And we end, as I said, heading straight to the live action in Fraher Field. But without further ado, let's catch up with TJ Ryan, the Tipperary senior hurling selector. I spoke with him at the Munster launch. Let's hear that audio now.
Last year's Munster Championship, being covering the games myself, the one in Ennis, the one in Páirceachaoimh, stand out as just brilliant games of hurling and brilliant occasions. It kind of ended disappointingly, missing out in a Munster final, but I'd imagine between yourselves and the players, getting back to a Munster final must be a huge kind of incentive for the group this year.
Definitely, anyway, first of all, getting back to play in the Munster Championship is brilliant, like. And anyone that finished up, say, last year, we're saying, like, will we get the same chance again? The chance is there every year for hurlers. Prepare themselves right and get stuck into it, because you probably has the best teams around at the moment, with Cork, Clare, Limerick, Waterford and Tip and Munster. There's very little between any of the teams. That was proven last year. Do you know, on any given day, you could say any team could have won some of them games. I know Limerick came back and drew with us and told us. That was a fantastic game of Holland. We took the game to Limerick that day. The game in Innes was probably, the goals that day were probably a little bit flattering for us against Clare. Clare came out in their next game and beat Limerick. And I know that Waterford, in their first game, there was only 2 points in it with Limerick and Tullos. The second week then they looked maybe flat against Cork. But like Clare, Waterford came back and didn't beat us. So in the last game, there is very little between any of the teams, only to get it right on the day.
Yeah, and it makes for an unbelievable championship, but I suppose it's probably a little bit stressful for ye in management, because, as you said, the games are so close. Like, looking back on those games, like the game down in Páirceachaoimh, it was a beautiful sunny day, lovely occasion, yeah. Place was full, brilliant game of hurling. Like, are you actually able to enjoy the games as they're happening, or are you just too caught up in what's happening on the field?
As a selector, you wouldn't really. The game that evening was so fast, so intense. It was actually hard to keep your eyes on everything that was happening up and down the field. There was it 6 goals or 7 goals in that game? It was huge. And even at that, like, the flow was changing. Like, Cox started brightly, then we took over. Cork got a goal in before half-time. Like, it was just seesaw. It was a typical Cork Tipperary game.
Yeah.
Like, you were never out of sight.
No.
Do you know, either way. And, like, even Cork took the lead, I think, and we came back and got the last score up at the other end, like, to draw it. Like, it's just history games. Like, you just look back in them years to come and you say, just that was just brilliant.
Yeah.
But, like, that was a game where both teams probably let each other hurl with no real game plans in store. Everything went out the window. Whereas other games, like, are more, you know, teams have a plan in place, like Limerick now in particular. They just all seem to, the middle third, get the players behind the ball and bring it through from there. whereas Cork just two after shekels, tip two after shekels and just hold for money into the other.
Yeah, definitely made for an unreal spectacle. But
yep.
This championship now, you're starting away to Limerick. 6 days later, you're away to Waterford. Then you have the break, and then you have Cork at home. Then you have Clare at home in quick succession as well. But that six-day gap between the first two games, does that change how you prepare at all? Like it's a tough turnaround. Like
it's a very hard turnaround. Like, and hopefully that we learned from last year that we had a short turnaround from the Limerick to Waterford game. We'd only 7 days, and hopefully that maybe we'll be learning a little bit ourselves this year how we'll approach that game.
Yeah. And like we mentioned earlier when we were talking about the league, how you use 38 players in the league and things like that, is all that with kind of an eye of we need as many bodies for this Munster Championship, because it's going to be tough. You're probably going to, you know, lads will pick up knocks, lads might be able to recover in time, so you really do need a full panel of lads.
Oh yeah, you need everybody on board. You need that big panel now at the moment, because you can see two or three injuries I think we picked up in one game alone last year, that was against Limerick. They failed to play against Waterford the week after. You need depth in your panel, definitely, from now on. If you have any goal of getting out and winning the Munster Championship, because you'll probably have a different 15 in most games that you'll play in Munster.
Mm. And with all those players that you've used in the league and building up to the Championship, are you kind of happy with lads you've picked up, maybe lads that weren't there last year, or just the overall depth of the squad there at the minute?
Oh, definitely very happy now with the players and the players, how they're training themselves, the credit, like the way they're applying themselves in training, and they're driving sessions as well, which is great. It makes it much easier on the management when players are willing like to do anything, like to get to the level that's needed.
And like in there now as a selector, and how, you know, it's a hectic time of the year now, we're past Paddy's Day, it's really getting close to the Championship, is it enjoyable as a selector being in there with the team? Like, how would you kind of describe it? It's probably fairly full on, I'd imagine. It probably occupies your mind a lot of the time.
Yeah, just 100% even. Like, everything, like, is from one win into the week to the other, it's hauling, like, full on, and that's it. I get a break by going to work. So that's the way. But, look, you're either in it or you're out of it, one or the other. So, look, the sooner the Munster Championship, I'm long and waiting for it to come around quickly. You know, looking forward to it, and hopefully we can embrace it and do well enough in it.
Yeah, and first up, as we were saying, is Limerick away in the Gaelic grounds. It doesn't get harder than that. No. The four in a row winning All-Ireland champions away in your first round. But like that's a nice game to target too as well, because, you know, Tip will probably be going in as underdogs, you'd imagine, but it's probably a nice game to start off with, because there's nothing you can do when you go all out. Like,
look, you're putting your best foot forward now in every game, like in the Championship. And the players that are available to you, the best team possible, you'll be putting out in every game. So the Limerick game will definitely, we won't be holding back, or any, no county will be holding back. People are the assumption like that, you know, you want to hold players for the week after. That'll never work. Like, you have to go out and put your best foot forward every day you're holding. Like in anything, any walk of life, if you any job you're going to, like if you're going in, say, we'll do it next week, put it off, it just doesn't work. You're better off to embrace the challenge that's coming down the tracks, that every team in Ireland, I think, are looking forward to taking on Limerick and see what way they can come around beating them.
Yeah, it was great to chat with TJ Ryan, the Tipperary senior hurling selector there, looking ahead to the Munster Championship, which gets underway this Sunday. But of course, Tipperary, we have to wait an extra week. But we did have a bit of excitement in the county during the week, of course, with the club draws just being made last night. On another day, we'd have more time to speak about that. But it's always an exciting time, and we're all going to be looking forward to July later in the year for the club championships getting underway. And of course, the first weekend of August for the football championships. But yeah, really much looking forward to that. But as I mentioned, we're just caught for time here tonight, and with the live game on at 7 o'clock as well. So we're going to go straight now to Sunday's game, 2 o'clock in Rathdowney. Tipperary taking on Kilkenny in the All-Ireland Minor Camogie Championship semi-final. And delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Tipperary Minor Camogie manager John Ryan. John, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, John, it's excitement, I'm sure, building in the camp. It's All-Ireland semi-final weekend, Sunday, 2 o'clock in Rathdowney against Kilkenny. Talk to me a bit about this team. I suppose it's a successful group of girls in terms of they won the Munster Minor, but a lot of the girls would have lots of success with the schools as well. So you're working with a good bunch of players in there.
Yeah, this has been in place for a couple of years, Paul. If you remember, we got to the All-Ireland final under 16 2 years ago, and a lot of these girls were involved, and at that stage a lot of them had been involved with the Ursuline. They had won the junior All-Ireland final, and this year they got to the final. They were beaten, but the presentation have been successful as well over the last couple of years, and it all feeds into us building a nice team there. And you know, they are a talented bunch of girls and work incredibly hard. And parents, it's a pleasure to be working with them.
Yeah, and it's been a nice successes so far for the group of girls. And I mentioned the Munster Championship victory this year as well. So I'm sure they'll be looking to maybe go one step further this weekend. It's Kilkenny who are the opponents. And as you mentioned, with the Ursuline and Loretto, Kilkenny have had their battles down through the years. And even in the All-Ireland final this year, which was on in Rathdowney, where Sunday's game is going to be on. You beat Kilkenny in the group stage 3-10 to 2-7. But I have a feeling there's never too much between these two sets of players.
No, there's not, and there won't be, and I would expect that next Sunday's game would even be tighter than that. Kilkenny will have found out a lot about themselves over the last couple of games. You know, we all learn as we progress along through the championship. We find out different things, and Kilkenny will be no different. And you know, the tradition that's there in Kilkenny through the years, both in hurling and camogie, would be very deep rooted. And, you know, we'll get nothing soft there from Kilkenny. We don't expect anything soft from them. We won't get anything soft. And it's going to be very, very tight game. It's down to fine margins. And that's what it will be at the end of the day.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, for this team so far this year in the All-Ireland Championship, it's the six-team group and the top four to the All-Ireland semi-finals. So with a couple of opening wins, one of them over Kilkenny, he had secured a semi-final spot early, and were beaten in the last two games, including against Waterford last year. It's probably not ideal, but I'm sure it's made a kind of motivation and making everyone's heads straight a little bit easier for yourself this week.
No, it's a very tight group anyway. You know, any given day, any one of the teams could beat one another. And it's been that way all year. You know, you might win the first day, like we did against Cork and Waterford, and the last time we beat them, we didn't win. And it's going to be very tight with this. I mean, there's a lot of improvements going on in all these counties with Camogie, and you know, our own county is no different. We're getting better every year, and structures that are being put in place are underage or begin to pay dividends. You know, the schools, as you say, are, you know, improving. They're getting into All-Ireland finals, winning All-Ireland finals. You know, a lot of work. It's going to be very, very tight with any of these teams. There's no real standout team in this. And let's say it's back down. What will happen on the day is, you know, the fine margins on the day is what will win the game.
Well, hopefully those fine margins go in Tipperary's favour on Sunday at 2 o'clock throw-in time down in Rathdowney. We'll have live updates here on Tip FM. But John Ryan, I wish yourself and all your team the very best of luck, and hopefully we have an All-Ireland final to look forward to come Sunday afternoon.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
So now it's time for our first ad break of the evening, but we'll be speaking to Ray Maloney from Cashel Rugby Club after these. And you're very welcome back to part two of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carroll, on this Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. Now, we were speaking Gaelic games before the break, and just before we move on, a reminder that we will be going live here in Fraher Field in just about a half an hour's time. Ken Hogan will be joining me, bringing you live commentary of Tip versus Waterford in the Munster Under 20 Hurling Championship. So, no need to change the dial for the next couple of hours if sport is your thing here in Tipperary. We've had a good week of it in Tip at the minor footballers and under 20 footballers with respective wins over Clare. So, well done to all involved. And of course, the under-20s are back out in action next Wednesday. They are away to Kerry down in Tralee, looking to book a place in the Munster final. That game will be live here on Tip FM. And another game that is live on Tip FM is tomorrow at 2:30. Cashel taking on Barnhall in the Division 1B 2A playoff semi-final. This is in Spafield, 2:30 p.m. kickoff time, live on Tip FM, with thanks to Cashel Mart Stephen Gleeson and Pat O'Donoghue will be bringing you live commentary there. But I am delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Cashel Rugby Club head coach Ray Maloney. Ray, you're very welcome to the show, and what is a massive week for Cashel Rugby Club.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul, first of all. But yeah, it's a massive week. It's something that the club have had before, a home semi-final and all that. Massive week for us in terms of where we want to go as a group. As I say, we've kind of set out that we want to get promoted. So it's just another game in one sense. But then for the club itself, it's massive, yeah, to have that home semi-final.
Did you say it was the first? This is the first time you've had a home semi-final?
No, they've had it a couple of years back. As I say, this is my first one with the lads here in Cashel, but they've had it maybe 2016, 2017, 2018 or in around that. They've played Buccaneers, as far as I know.
Yeah. So there's a lot of kind of hype around the town, I'm sure, and just speaking to some people in the club, there's definitely a lot of excitement. But for yourself, you're probably just looking at what's going to happen on the field. And of course, you've played Barnhull twice this year in the league. You actually beat them away back in November, but they beat Cashel back in February 12-21. It was that day. And I believe they won last season in Spafield as well. So Barnhull will be coming down here knowing that they know how to win down here, but I'm sure you'll be doing everything you can to make sure they don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, listen, Barnhull are a very good team. Very good team. They're a high-scoring team. So we know what they're going to bring to the table. Again, it comes down to, like, my feeling myself, if we play 100%, they play 100%, we'll come away with the win. But it's cup final-like. So yeah. Anything can happen on the day. It's who controls himself that bit better, I think.
Yeah, and rugby does kind of, when it gets to knockout rugby, it does kind of take a different shape, a different form of game. There's definitely a difference between a normal league game and when it comes to knockout rugby.
Absolutely, but that comes down to pressure on players now, and they put on themselves now, not coming from anywhere up top. But like, it comes down to pressure in anything you do. If there's pressure on you, kind of it becomes that little bit more tense.
Yeah, and does it affect kind of decision making on the sideline in terms of, you often see if you're watching a knockout rugby game, even on telly, the commentators will often refer to if a penalty is won, they'll be saying, "Oh, just kick, go for the post rather than go for the corner," and things like that. So it changes the game in a number of ways.
It does, yeah, and it's like that. Like, when you're in cup final, every point counts because you come to the end of it. It's not as if you're trying to get a bonus point win by going and getting four tries. Like, it's by the end of it, if you win by a point or if you win by 7 points or 10 points, it doesn't make a difference. You still win.
Yeah, and it's,
do you know, a league basis, then you're thinking, oh, you get a bonus point if you get four tries. All that kind of stuff comes into play. But no, when cup rugby comes, it's like who wins the game, whether it's a point or or 10 points, as I said.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'd bite the hand off for a 1 point win if it was handed to you now to get into that playoff final. But in terms of preparation, had a couple of weeks off since the last league game. How have you been kind of building in towards this Saturday?
Yeah, it's been good. We gave a bit of time off. Not out of the ordinary, really. We had a bit of a session there on Saturday, and the boys done Tuesday, and we go again tonight, nice and relaxed.
Yeah, and like, it's kind of drying up a little bit compared to what we've had in the last couple of months. And the longer evenings and things like that. It must be kind of a pleasant time to be in around the squad training for such a big game.
Yeah, that's it. Like, we've trained, I don't know if you've ever been in Cashel, it seems to be raining every time I go down there. But so it's starting to dry up, and the brighter evenings, lads are out earlier, kicking the balls around. And it's just generally a really good vibe in around the club.
Yeah, and how are you kind of injury-wise, kind of squad depth? Are you happy with where the squad is kind of going in here on Saturday?
Do you know what? I think for the first time we have a full squad to pick from. Now, that could be just because it's cup rugby, I don't know, but everyone has put their hands up, which is really good. We're at one injury out, that's all.
Yeah, that's pretty much as good as you could expect come the end of a long AIL season, for sure. But just for this game now on Saturday, like, it's kind of been well advertised around the place, and there's a great buzz around for this game. Like, when it comes to a big knockout game like this, the home support is definitely gonna make a difference.
It will, yeah. Like, I'd expect there'd be good support from Barnhall as well. As I say, they have good crowds up at their games, and I'd imagine they'd be bringing as many as they can down. But yeah, our lads really, really feed off the crowd in Spafield. As I say, it's a place I went a few times, and like that, it was, when the crowd got in behind them, it was hard to stop them. They get that bit of a G up.
Yeah.
So hopefully, as I say, hopefully they're all down and give that bit of a G up, the extra little kick for us.
Yeah, it's going to be a really exciting game. It's live here on Tip FM on Saturday at 2:30. Kick-off, as I said, live commentary with thanks to Cashel Mart, Stephen Gleeson and Pat O'Donoghue will be bringing you that action on Saturday afternoon. But Ray, hopefully this isn't the last time we're talking this season. Hopefully we've a playoff final to look forward to. So the very best of luck over the weekend.
Cheers, Paul. Thanks for having us on.
And now it's time for our second ad break of the evening, but stay tuned. We'll be speaking to Tip Ladies Football goalkeeper Lauren Fitzpatrick and getting our weekly Greyhound update, all coming up after these. And you're very welcome back to the third and final part of Across the Line here on Tip FM with myself, Paul Carlin, this Friday, the 19th of April, 2024. Now, as always on a Friday evening, we speak to a different Tipperary sports person on our weekly feature, The Sporting Edge. And this week I spoke to Lauren Fitzpatrick, the Tip Ladies Football goalkeeper. They, of course, get their Munster Championship campaign underway against Kerry tomorrow on Saturday at 1:45 p.m. in Fitzgerald Stadium. So let's hear my chat with Lauren Fitzpatrick.
The Sporting Edge on Tip FM, funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee. Tipperary's Tip
FM. So I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by Tipperary Ladies Football goalkeeper Lauren Fitzpatrick. Lauren, thanks for joining us on the show.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Lauren, it's getting into the business end now of the season for yourselves with Tipperary, the Munster Championship starting this weekend. But if we just reflect back on the season so far, congratulations are in order for yourself. You were named in the Division 2 Team of the League in goals, and I believe it's up to Croke Park next week, I think, to receive that award. So first of all, congratulations on that. And just how do you kind of reflect back on that league?
Thank you, Millian. Firstly, I suppose, looking back at the league, I think you could say we had a good and a bad kind of campaign, I suppose, really. But you know what, I think we took a lot out of it. You know, there was a lot of games there where we kind of suffered heartbreaking defeats to 1 and 2 points, which was very disappointing. I think we competed really well. We got a lot out of the league. I think we learned a lot about the good players we have, and you know, we got to give players game time and, you know, kind of get ready for Munster Championship and obviously the All-Ireland Series to come as well. So, look, I know we probably had our goals kind of set to maybe achieve something a little bit higher, you know, obviously maybe get to Croke Park on league final day. But, look, we didn't, and I suppose, look, that is a bit upsetting and quite disappointing, but I think we have to take the positives out of it now, you know, and kind of bring those into the Championship going forward. And, look, I think since we kind of finished up against Donegal in the last round of the league, I think we kind of put our heads down and really, really pushed on in training and for the Munster Championship, because, you know, we've 3 big games ahead of us, you know, with Kerry, Cork and Waterford. So, like, they're going to be no easy task. So, yeah, no, look, we're looking forward to the Munster Championship. It's going to be tough, but obviously that's what we want. You know, we want to be playing the likes of Kerry and Waterford and Cork. So, yeah, no, look, really looking forward to it, and let's see. It'll be great to see how it goes.
Yeah, and it's a massive occasion this weekend, I suppose, in the fact that it's on before Kerry and Cork in the Munster Senior Football Championship, so a massive crowd will be expected down in Fitzgerald Stadium in Clarny. I'll ask you a bit about that in a second, but just on that league, like, you won 3 games, lost 4, and all the games you lost were by a single point, so that's incredibly frustrating on one hand, I'm sure, but it probably gives you a little bit of encouragement that God, you're right there. You're right there with all the teams in that division, and well able to compete at the top end.
Yeah, no, 100%, definitely. And I think frustrating is probably the biggest word of it all, because, you know, we really kind of had the goal set on getting to the league final. And you know what? It's probably easy for me to say that I think we probably could have been there. And look, obviously we weren't, and we lost the games, and that's how it goes, you know. So, yeah, no, look, it's frustrating, but I think, you know, you can't dwell too much on obviously the past. And, you know, like, we took a lot out of it. We learned a lot, you know, and trainings have been going great. And look, I hope from what we've learned and what we've put into practice that can hopefully come to fruition on through the Munster Championship.
Yeah, and like for yourself, I think it's your 10th year. 2014, you made your championship debut. So tomorrow, you know, it's going to be another championship appearance, but it's going to be 10 years on. But if we rewind even further before then, when did you first kind of get into playing ladies football? Was it something you were always interested in from a young age? I believe you grew up in Newcastle.
Yeah, no, look, I suppose like anybody, you kind of get thrown into it when you're when you're 5 and 6, and you know, I suppose I'm lucky, I'm from a family who's, you know, GAA is hugely important to the family. You know, my aunt was actually a part of the Tip ladies team who won the first All Ireland, so like, you know, it's definitely in the bloodline. But yeah, no, I probably started playing when I was about 5 or 6, and you know, then obviously you're playing with boys up till you're about 12, and then you head on to playing with the girls then from so on. And then obviously, you know, I was lucky, I was in Clonmacnoise for secondary school, and you know, we had great success there, so you know, I kind of drove it on from there. But yeah, no, look, it's been a long 10 years with Tip Ladies football, and you know what, I've loved every minute of it. So yeah, no, it's exciting to obviously get into a 10th season.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant, and brilliant to hear that the excitement is very much still there. But your club football, you're on the border down there in South Tipperary with Waterford, and you play your club football with Ballymacarbery, and it's a club that its success is pretty much unrivaled. I think last year was at the 42nd County Senior Championship in a row, so that's incredible stuff. And you got all the way to the All-Ireland Final last year, just beaten there by Kilkern Clonburn in that final. Just talk to us about playing with Ballymacarbery, and you're over and back the border there down in South Tipperary.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's a funny one, and a lot of people kind of, you know, they ask the question as to how I'm with a Waterford club. But yeah, no, I'm just on the water. My parish is split in two, so one is obviously in Waterford and one is in Tipperary. So yeah, no, I'm about a 6 to 10 minute drive from the pitches all, so I'm fairly close. But yeah, no, look, like you said, the club is steeped in huge history of ladies football, stalwarts of the game really when you think about it. And sometimes you kind of forget that, and then on occasions when you do kind of reach all Ireland finals, and you're talking to people and you're chatting about the history, and it's just massive, it's huge, and something, God, I'm very honoured to play for that club and to wear that jersey. And look, yeah, it's huge. And you know, I suppose the group of girls that I've been in parish with for the last number of years, like, they've been brilliant, and I think to reach All Ireland final last year was just the pinnacle of that. And look, I think there's a lot more to come from us, and hopefully this year and next year we can drive on.
Yeah, 100%, and it's probably nice to have such high ambitions, not only with Tipperary but with the club, that the fact that, you know, getting to Croke Park is something you've achieved, and I'm sure you're kind of eager to get back there. But I mentioned the 42 county titles in a row, like, that's incredible stuff from the club. But on the players itself, does that kind of weigh heavy in any sort of way, that the fact that you don't want to be the team that loses that streak in any way?
No, and it's, you know, people probably don't believe us when we say it. You know, we kind of have this mindset where we can take every year is a different year, you know, and you take game by game. Like last year, you know, we kind of struggled through the start of the county championship, and you know, it kind of came right near the end. And you know, we had a huge battle against Cumber Rangers in that final, and you know, extra time, and to obviously come out on the right side of that, it was brilliant. But in the moments and during the season, you're not really thinking about, you know, the numbers and the 40 and the 42s and the. And I think that's due to our management. You know, they're brilliant, they've kept us very much grounded. And you know what, the Waterford County Championship is very competitive, it's very difficult. And I know when some people hear Ballymac have done 42 in a row, and it's, God, they mustn't have any competition in Waterford, but it's the complete opposite. It's a great competition, and it's a huge testament to the group of girls that's there, that they, you know, they drive on year, it's massive. And God, you know, you learn a lot from them, you know.
Yeah, and the fact that a final is going to extra time like that, it's obviously very, very hard won, that's for sure. But we mentioned 2014, your championship debut with Tipperary. Since then, there's been a lot of success. It would have been involved in the All-Ireland Intermediate victories there in the last 6 or 7 years. What's changed, or has anything changed, let's say, from in the world of ladies football since when you came in 2014 to where we are now here in 2024?
Yeah, like, I suppose massively, really, when you think about it. You know, I think ladies football in general, the game has grown massively, just in terms of, you know, people watching the game and people playing the game. It's huge. And then you look at the likes of your GPA, and the work that they're doing behind the scenes is massive for their players. But in terms of Tip Ladies football, you know, the growth has been huge. In terms of, you know, you probably started out in 2014 with your bare minimum at your coaches and your managers, and you know, you kind of go on and you see the changes through 10 years where you have S&Cs, you've got stats people, you know, you've got performance coaches. And you know, I think we're very, very lucky in Tip that our county board is 100% behind us. We want for nothing, they give us anything we need. And I think that's huge. But no, like over the years, you've seen a huge change, and I hope to see it continue to grow, because I think it's a great game, and I think the effort that goes in behind the scenes is massive. And yeah,
it's brilliant to see where the game is going. It seems to be very much an upward trajectory the last decade or so, at least. Anyway, but I mentioned the intermediate success and the success that the county has had over the last kind of 7-8 years or even further on. In a way, you might have even been suffering from some of the success you've had, because a number of players have been poached down to Australia in the last couple of years. Is that a bit frustrating? I know you can't ever condemn or begrudge anyone moving on to women's AFL down in Australia, but for yourselves in there, it must be a little bit frustrating when you get really good players together and suddenly they're not available, albeit some of the girls were available this year so far.
Yeah, look, I suppose, like you said, I would never begrudge anyone or anything like that. You know, I think it's a massive opportunity for the girls. You know, when you look at it, it's huge. And, you know, the girls, they've given everything for TIP. So, you know, they owe them thing. And, you know, I kind of wish them every success when they move on and to go try new things. And as you can see, they're excelling great over there. Mm. And, you know, I suppose, like you said, this year, you know, we had Niamh Martin come back for the league, which is excellent. And we've Ashley Maloney and Anna Rose who are sticking around to the end of the championship, which is, you know, it's a huge testament to those girls as well, because, you know, they are staying back and they're going to play for the rest of the season, and they'll head back over then again, you know. And look, God knows what next year will bring. We mightn't get any of the girls back or anything like that. But look, they're my friends at the end of the day, and I only wish them well and the best in everything that they do.
Yeah, and it's incredible that they've even committed to this year so far. You're probably getting pulled in two directions from literally the both two sides of the planet. So it's a great testament, as you said, to them. But yeah. Going forward now, the Munster Championship, of course, your first game is tomorrow down in Fitzgerald Stadium, as I mentioned, against Kerry, 1:45 p.m. throw-in time. And as I said, it's the game on before the Kerry versus Cork game in the Munster Senior Men's Football Championship. Just on that kind of double-header kind of thing that's been happening in the last couple of years, it's probably something we're going to see a lot more of once the kind of three organisations, the GAA, LGFA and Camogie, come together, whenever that may be in the next couple of years. Is that something that you'd kind of welcome in terms of these double-headers and things like that? Do you think it kind of helps improve things?
Definitely. I think it's massive for the ladies' game. You know, it's something small it's something small probably in the greater scheme of things, but you know, when you get to have double headers like that, and you know, it kind of draws in maybe a crowd that mightn't usually watch the ladies game, or you know, they mightn't get a chance to watch the ladies game because they might be traveling to the senior men's game. So yeah, look, I think it would bring great interest to the game. You know, they might pick up that, you know, this is actually quite entertaining to watch. And for the groups of players who are playing as well, it's great for them and their families as well to have big occasions like that. You know, there's a bit more of a hype around it, and you know, you're in like for us, for instance, tomorrow, you know, we get to play in Fitzgerald Stadium, which is, you know, it's great for us, huge honour. And it's great, and like you said, I do hope it continues to go that way.
Yeah, and it's going to be a stern test, to say the least. You're going away to Kerry, who are All-Ireland finalists last year, so this Kerry team, you've obviously played them in Munster Championship in recent times, but it's going to be a tough test, I'm sure.
Definitely, and you know what, we're under no illusions as to how tough it will be. You know, the girls are well aware of how good Kerry are, you know, and I think Kerry might be coming into the game a little bit disappointed of their league campaign. You know, they made the league final and lost out to Armagh. So, you know, they're going to want to set down a standard for the start of Munster Championship. So yeah, look, we're under no illusions as to how tough it will be, but I've no doubt that our girls will obviously bring a great performance on Saturday. And look, at the end of the day, we're going to focus on, you know, what we've set in place, our standards and our gameplay. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, we can only go out and give it our all, and look, hopefully we'll come out the right side of it.
Yeah, and the very best of luck to you tomorrow. Just before I let you go, the All-Ireland Championship, of course, later in the summer, I believe seedings and things like that will be sorted from the Provincial Championship, so you're not aware of the group just yet. But last year, it probably was as dramatic can be for yourselves in the relegation final. It goes to a free-taking shootout with yourselves and Watford. So I'm sure it was an emotional affair for yourself. I'm sure you know a lot of the girls may be playing with Watford. But Tip win that, I believe it was Emma Cronin who kicked the winning point from that. free-taking competition. Just talk to us about that experience in general, that free-taking competition. Usually you imagine it might be a penalty shootout, the goalkeeper would be heavily involved, but it must have been fairly nerve-wracking watching on.
It was, and you know, I suppose when you set out at the start of the day, you don't kind of think that it's going to end up in a 21-yard kick and, you know, shootout. But I think that just shows that the standard that the game was at, that, you know, both Tip and Waterford were obviously not letting that game go. But yeah, no, look, I suppose there was, at the end of the game, an extra time it came to that, and, you know, Peter had to pick five, and, you know, I actually had been picked as one of the kickers. So, you know, once you kind of get your kick out of the way and you've got it over, you can kind of nearly breathe a sigh of relief. But no, I thought the girls did excellent. You know, there's a lot of pressure on the line, and obviously, you know, I had a slight, you know, you'd be heartbroken for the Ballymac girls who were a part of that Waterford team, you know, but you know, at the end of the day, I have to focus on Tip when I'm with Tip, so that was kind of my thinking, you know. But obviously, you know, your heart would go out to them. But to be fair, they'd went on and you know, they'd won their next game and they didn't get relegated. So, you know, that was kind of a bit of a relief as well. So, yeah, no, look, hopefully we can avoid those scenarios this year, please God.
Yeah, hopefully maybe it's not as dramatic for yourselves this year. But that's all to come later in the year. It's the Munster Championship up first, as I mentioned, tomorrow against Kerry, 1:45 throw-in time. Lauren, it's been absolutely brilliant chatting to yourself, and we wish you the very best of luck for the year going forward.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The Sporting Edge on Tip FM, funded by Commission Naman, with the television licence fee. Tipperary's Tip
FM. Great chatting to Lauren Fitzpatrick there, and as I said, we wish them all the very best of luck tomorrow as they start their Munster Championship campaign. But now, as always, on a Friday evening here in Across the Line, it's time to talk dogs with Barry Drake.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
It's another massive weekend in the world of greyhound racing, with so much to look forward to over the course of the next couple of nights. But one particular contest is sure to attract a massive crowd at Limerick Greyhound Stadium on Saturday night. Of course, it's the final of the 80,000 euros to the winner, 2024 Con and Annie Kirby Memorial Final. Graham Holland, the Golden Base champion trainer, is represented with trap number one, Romeo Kingpin, who is going to be my selection here from a beautiful draw on the inside of the track. Just things didn't go absolutely bang on last week, but it still ran a massive race in defeat when running a big race in second. So that's my selection for one of the richest greyhound races in Europe, and one of the biggest greyhound races in the world, the 2024 Conanany Kirby Memorial Final. Scooby Pacemaker represents Killing All trainer Jennifer O'Donnell, a lady that's enjoyed some massive success, of course, winning the last two Irish Greyhound Derbies. Certainly not without a chance in trap number two. It's another very talented greyhound. So all eyes on that. Due off there at 9:53 in Limerick on Saturday night. As I said, expecting a massive crowd there at the Limerick Greyhound Stadium. And of course, I Am Maximus, the recent hero in the Aintree Grand National, of course, owned by JP McMahon, is trained by Willie Mullins. He was ridden by Paul Townend. He's going to be on parade at Limerick Greyhound Stadium on Saturday night. So I'm sure he's going to get an unbelievable reception. So that really is a huge night there, of course. And as I said, massive crowds expected to head along there on Saturday night. Switching our attentions to action in Clonmel this weekend. They've got some good racing down for decision. We spoke about a greyhound called Chief Sydney last week. It failed to win, but certainly ran a big race in defeat. It's trained locally by trainer Kevin McLean. It was a big performance in defeat. Think this is a slightly easier task in the Sorley or Dornan Memorial A3A4 Guys and Doll Stake, and I think Chief Sydney can get off the mark for the first time in outing number 6 there in race number 5. That's down there in Clonmel tonight, of course. Action getting underway there at 7:30. Switching our attention to Thurles Greyhound Stadium this weekend. They have two lovely finals down for decision on Saturday night. Their usual racing programme gets underway at 7:35. We've the Morris Ryan 0-2 5-2-5 final, which looks a hot contest here. A couple of real smart youngsters on show. Braymore Dice was most impressive on winning last time in 29.07, and you'd have to imagine on that winning performance the October puppy will take the world of stopping there, and it can make it back to back winning performances. While in the final of the Simons Bear Clonalty 8-2-5-2-5 final, another great final down for decision here. Looks an open enough contest. Cabra Kayser will be fancied from the inside of the track for Paddy Scally. That was a nice performance and winning in 29-22 last time. But short again for Thomas Belen, and Thurles set the standard when winning in 29-15 last time. That's very much respected as well. As I said, open contest. Splendid fella runs from trap number 5. Tricky enough draw for Pory Campion, the local trainer, who is doubly represented in the final, as is David Flanagan. So that's good racing action down for decision there on Saturday night in Thurles, and I'm sure that'll attract a big crowd as well. While finally, in terms of Clonmel, they're back racing, of course, on Sunday night, where their usual starting time of a Sunday night there at 6:29. One to keep an eye on down there is Chasing Supper in race number 5 for Tig Morrissey. Caught my eye on debut for the Golden Kennel. Never featured last time, but certainly better expected there. And I would think that would go very close. So that's Clonmel there on Sunday night. So as I said, a lot to look forward to over the course of the weekend. It's a busy weekend. We've the Spring Derby getting underway down here in Cork. 7,500 jurors to the winner of that competition. Plenty of Tipperary interest as well in that. Of course, the feature final in Cork last Saturday night was the Greyhound and Petworld Super Sprint, and it was more success for Kappa White trainer Pat Buckley, as his Road Exile won the 5,000 euro prize there, delivering a stunning performance there in the feature final. So as I said, it's a lot happening over the course of the weekend. Big racing down for decision as well in Shelburne Park. But as I said, all eyes very much on Limerick on Saturday night for one of the races of the year, the 80,000 euros to the winner, 2024 Conanany Kirby Memorial Final. And my selection is trap number 1, Romeo Kingpin, who's trained in Golden and County Tipperary by champion trainer Graham Holland. So as I said, big weekend, and no doubt we'll have plenty to report come this time next week.
And many thanks to Barry Drake, as always, for his concise and informative rundown on all things greyhound racing happening here in the Premier County and further afield as well. And worth mentioning that Conanany Annie Kirby Memorial Final, they're 80,000 to the winner. That race is actually sponsored by JP and Noreen McManus. But moving on now, and that's pretty much all we got time for this week's edition of the show. Of course, Ken Hogan will be joining me here in Fraherfield after the break as we transition over to our live coverage of Tipperary versus Waterford in the Munster Under 20 Hurling Championship game. But a reminder as well that tomorrow at 2:30, Stephen Gleeson and Pat O'Donoghue will have live commentary of Cashel versus Barnhall in the Division 2A rugby semi-final. Coverage of that game is with thanks to Cashel Mart. So that's just all we got time for this week's edition of the show. Thanks to all the guests and for you, the listeners, for tuning in. And I will be back next Friday night for the next edition of Across the Line. Bye for now.